Welcome, everybody.
My name is Damien Edwards. I'm a senior program manager on the ASP.NET team. And we're going to talk to you today about doing development for mobile and tablet devices using ASP.NET. And judging by the number of people here, this is a topic almost as interesting to people as HTML5 and ASP.NET. Who came to my first talk earlier in the week? Okay, a bunch of people. Excellent. You may notice that a lot of what applies to the HTML5 world also applies to the mobile world, because the mobile world predominantly is the HTML5 world. But we're going to see there are some unique challenges as well. Anyone have that phone? Ever? Not now, obviously. Come on. I didn't have quite that model, no. So why do we care about mobile? Well, mobile is huge, enormous. I imagine everyone in here has a mobile phone. If not everyone, then almost everybody. In fact, according to some random stats place that we got these numbers from, 1 billion active mobile broadband subscriptions. That's not 1 billion active phones. That's 1 billion people on their phones who have broadband capabilities on those phones. Smartphones with the ability to browse the web at high speed. That's a lot of customers. That's a lot of potential. That's one for every 7 people on Earth. There he is, the dude with the smartphone. That's a decidedly dumb-looking phone, actually. I should have chosen a better icon than that. That's a lot of people. So if you don't have a mobile-optimized presence for your website or web application, your web presence, then potentially you're missing out on a really, really big market segment, which is why I assume you're all here, because you want to learn about how you can make this a better experience for people on mobile devices. So not just are there a lot of people using the mobile web, but for a good portion of those people, it's actually becoming the primary way that they use the web. A lot of people in the world own a smartphone and don't own a computer. And they do all of their browsing, or the majority of their browsing, on their smartphone. In fact, depending on what country you live in, that number can be as high as basically everybody. So if you're in the US or UK or China, and you're looking at a quarter to a third of people, but then once you move into India and Egypt, you're basically talking about every single person spends, when they do their internet web, their internet surfing, they're doing it on a smartphone. So again, if you're not optimizing the experience of your website for these people, you're just missing out on this large portion of your market. Now, if you're not interested in that market, that might be fine, but you know, 25% in the US is still a huge number. If you had a shop and you turned away 1 in 4 people, I would say you're probably not going to be a very successful shop. So you want to make sure that we build nice experiences for these people. So what do we do about it? Well, like everything in software development, that depends. There's no easy answer. But there's a number of different choices. It's not just we do this or we do nothing. There's a bit of a dial that we can turn and choose how much we want to sort of turn up this optimized experience for our mobile developers. So first of all, we can do nothing. Nothing is good. It's cheap. It's fast. It's easy. If you're lazy like me, it's a great option. But as we'll see in a minute, doing nothing doesn't necessarily mean doing absolutely nothing. But hopefully you're going to do a little bit more than nothing. You can change the client side. So if we think about our web applications, we know that there is more than one tier involved in our web applications when it comes to the technology. We have HTML, CSS, and JavaScript on the client. That's what we're talking about here, the client. And then on the server, we have whatever server technology we're using, ASP.NET, Web API, Java, Node, whatever it might be. So our second option is kind of, well, let's just leave the server as it is, and let's do some work on the client to improve that experience. And the last option is sort of the full hog. When we're really, really committed to building this best mobile experience we can, we have to go back to the server and start making allowances for mobile devices in the core of our application design, the HTML that we emit, the user experience that we architect in the way that information flows from one screen to the next. And so we're going to have a look at all three of these things one by one. So let's start off with what happens when you do nothing. Let's move over to number 2. There we go. So let's go to a site that hasn't really done a lot. This is Phil Hack's site. You all know Phil Hack, right? Lost son, left Microsoft earlier this year. We mourn his loss. No, not really. He's still a good friend of ours. And if I look at his website in a desktop browser, everything looks pretty good. If I was to start resizing this browser down, you can see that pretty soon he he's using a very common technique in website development where you have a fixed width layout. So the width of his site doesn't get any wider when there's more space for the site to take up. And then when the browser or the window gets smaller, things sort of just start to disappear. And if I want to see what's over there, I have to actually grab the scroll bar and scroll across. So what does that look like if I use it on a mobile device? So I'm going to painfully type in everything in here because I don't know how to copy and paste into the phone emulator. Here we go. So what do we get? Tiny, 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 tiny website. It looks very cute, but it's not extremely usable. So what's the first thing that we do when we come across a site like this on our mobile device?
Turn it sideways.
Turn it sideways, yeah? That can work. I can try that. No, that doesn't work on the emulator very well. I just have to turn my head to the side like this. Tap the screen twice. Thank you. Tap, tap. There we go. And we zoom in to whatever it is that we want to read. Now, in this case, on Phil's site, that works pretty well. So his main column of information is narrow enough, even in his fixed width layout, and the phone has maybe done some smarts here to make this fairly readable in this situation. But if you had any screen, you've got some screenshots in here, you can see these are a little bit small. Maybe I could tap in a little bit more. So if I double tap on the screenshot, I'm now sizing into that, but now my text is kind of out of shot. So I can read this. It's certainly doable, and we know a lot of websites are built this way. But if there was anything interesting on the right-hand side, obviously I'd have to sort of pan across, and it's certainly not the best experience that I could be offering to my customers. So we could do a little bit more. But that's sort of the typical experience you'll get when you do nothing. There it is. It's Phil's site in all of its tiny glory. So if you do nothing, at least do one thing, which is add this tag to your website, which Phil didn't. So this is the meta name. Actually, he might have. Maybe he did. Maybe I'm being cruel. Meta name viewport. You can see I haven't done it on this PowerPoint slide, because if I had, it would have looked like that. So what that does is tell the mobile browser, hey, don't pretend you're a desktop. So did you know that mobile browsers, when they look at a web page, by default, will actually pretend as if the screen is 900-odd pixels wide? Even though, you know, on a Windows phone, it's only 480 pixels if you're holding it in portrait mode. And so that's why everything looks tiny, because it thinks it's 900 pixels wide, so it renders 900 pixels worth of content into a 480-pixel wide surface. If you put this meta tag into the head of your document, the phone comes to its senses and says, oh, I'm not a desktop. I am actually a mobile device, and so I will only try and render 480 pixels worth of content. I will treat this as if the browser had been resized down to 480 pixels instead of magic scaling that I'm trying to do. So if you do that, generally you'll get a much better experience without any work on most sites. But we'll see in a minute that, you know, there are certain types of things in applications that even this won't fix. And so by doing that, you know, Phil could potentially get his site to something like this off the bat, so I don't have to double tap, which would be nice. So beyond nothing, what is there? So we said fix it on the client. So what's the next thing we can do? Well, on the client, what do we have available to us that we can change that doesn't require changes on the server? Well, we can't really change the HTML because that was served from the server. So we're left with CSS and JavaScript. And so we can use custom CSS. We could perhaps detect the device and then switch out the style sheet into a very specific style sheet just for that device. We could use something called media queries in CSS, which I spoke a little bit about on my first talk this week. And by using these things, we can implement a technique known as responsive design. Who's heard of responsive design? Okay, I spoke about this briefly on my first talk this week as well. So let's have a look at what a site that's taken this into consideration looks like. Let's come back. And we'll go to Mr. Hanselman's site, because his site recently went through, well, recently, a few months ago, went through a fairly involved redesign. He hired a designer, and they adhere to the principles of responsive design. So let's resize this back to here so you can see the full width. And you can see at the moment that everything looks pretty well spaced out. This is 1280 across. It's not even 1024. So it looks like I'm getting good use of my screen real estate on a desktop browser. And as I start to resize, rather than everything being fixed width, you can see that the width of this page is actually fluid. So things are actually changing and squishing up as I move the right-hand side of this browser from left to right. So rather than we saw on Phil's site, there was a fixed width, and he assumed that the browser was always this size, which we all did. Right? I did that as well when I'd worked in professional website stuff. We did that for years. We said that was the optimum way. It's the best bang for buck. Now people are finding that with a little bit more effort, you can get this experience where you can make things resize dynamically with CSS, no JavaScript. And then as I get down to about 1,000 pixels wide, you'll note that Scott's face disappears. About there. And so now, if we've got multiple stages of sort of this responsive layout. So now I get down to this size, not much else has changed. He's just removed that right-hand column. So he's decided that once we get down to that size, all this stuff on the right-hand side isn't really important anymore. It's great if you have the real estate on your client, but for people who don't, they're probably going to be on a tablet if they're looking at it about this size, probably an iPad portrait or something like that, then I don't need to show them that stuff. So then if we keep going, what happens if we get right down to approaching mobile phone size? So you can see these columns of links at the top are starting to get really, really close together. And at one point, they just pop. They just disappear. So if I come back out, you'll see it just there. And then bang, they all disappear. And it wasn't just those. You can see that these social network sharing buttons rearrange themselves. And this search bar almost becomes a separator between the header and the body. See that? See how it jumped down? But most significantly, you saw that all of those navigation elements he had at the top were dynamically turned into a select list, which is really kind of cool. And this did require some JavaScript. He wrote some JavaScript that kicked in when the page got to a certain size. And all he did was, in his JavaScript, using some jQuery, he harvests all of these links from these ULs. These are just UL, LIs, standard way of building menus these days. And he writes some JavaScript that enumerates over those, pulls out the heading and the link text and the link destination, and then builds this select list using the often forgotten about opt group, OPT group element. And that's how we get this nice hierarchical list inside of our select element. So a select element is select, and then inside the select you have option, option, option. You can group the options inside opt group tags inside that select element, and you get this experience. So why did he choose a select element, which is kind of boring on a desktop, even though we've got this opt group, so it does look okay. Why did he choose this native element rather than using some fancy CSS, JavaScriptified, beautiful select box? Well, the reason is that when we get down to mobile devices, native elements are actually really, really useful. So if we go to Hanselman's blog on my phone over here, see the select box isn't there while it's loading? So that JavaScript is still coming down and hasn't run yet. And now that it's run, that box is shown up. Well, if I go and click on that now on my mobile device, obviously I get the mobile device native select experience. And I did that completely wrong. Let's go back. And you can see that here. So we still get our opt group hierarchy, which is nice. But now we have a native experience. I don't have this tiny little select box being rendered on a little screen that I have to try and click on. I get a nice big fat select box, which the OS is doing for me. And of course, if I was on an iOS device, I think on the iPhone you get a very similar experience with the scrolly wheel. On the iPad, you get a nice flyout that comes out underneath it. So it's contextually aware. It's relevant to the device that you're using on, which is the big advantage of using a native control, a native HTML element for doing these type of things. So you can see this is really quite usable. I can scroll down. Note that the images actually get smaller too. So as I start resizing this, see how the image starts to shrink? As opposed to just the image staying wide and then me having a horizontal scroll bar, it shrinks and just keeps shrinking. So it doesn't matter how narrow this gets, the thing is still readable. And the images are still in line, and they just get smaller. Really, really clever stuff. And it's really not difficult to do with CSS. Now, I'm not going to spend the next hour telling you how to do that. Everyone knows how to use the browser tools. Go and download that CSS and look at it for yourself. There's another fantastic website that you can go to for inspiration. This one up here. Media Queries. So note the clever URL. So .es, I think, is Spain. And they've registered Media Queries. So as I said, this technology in CSS that lets you do different things based on the current size of the window or the device is called CSS Media Queries. And this is basically a catalog of websites that have gone to the effort of doing this. And it takes 4 screenshots at the different widths of the browser and the different UI that you get. And so there's some really, really nice ones in here. So as I said, you can go off and have a look at this for inspiration on perhaps what you could do in your website to make it look better at various different screen resolutions. Okay. So that's responsive design. So here's an example, again, of Hanselman's site inside, you know, iPhone on the right and Windows Phone on the left. Looking very, very nice. So what do we get out of fixing it on the client? Well, on the pro side, it was optimized for the current device. We saw that as my browser window got smaller, even when my browser window was wide, I sort of got full use. In Hanselman's case, even on a widescreen monitor, I was getting sort of full use of my real estate rather than a fixed width and then blank spaces on either side. And then in a narrow device, I was getting things trimmed away that perhaps weren't that important. And less duplication of effort involved because it's just the same HTML. Same HTML, same page, nothing's different except for the fact that I have some fancy CSS that makes things disappear. So what are the bad things about this? Well, it kind of glosses over the difference between using the web when you're on a desktop device and when you're on a mobile device. Because while for the, depends on what type of site you're building, you know, using the web on these two different things is generally a very different experience. One of them, you're generally sitting down at a desk or on your couch or in your office, and you're sat down to do some type of task. If you're using a computer, generally you're there browsing the web for a certain, or you're just killing time, you know, in between doing real work. But when you're on a mobile device, you're either killing time because you're bored, you're sitting in a chair and I'm talk like this, going, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Ooh, look at that. Or you're on the move. You know, like you say, okay, I want to go find a pizza close by, or I want to email someone really, really quickly. It's a very, very different use case. So this technique doesn't really take advantage or really think about those things. It just says, well, it's the same HTML, it's the same user experience, it's the same information architecture. I haven't changed the way the person interacts with the site. I've just hidden some stuff. And then lastly, we saw how those images were resizing. They were getting smaller. But the image size was actually the same. So my mobile device was still pulling down big, fat images for desktop users. It's just the CSS was squishing them down to make them look smaller. So it's not the most efficient use of bandwidth. My mobile users are still paying for all those bytes coming down for those big, fat images. Obviously, a lot more work would be involved to have optimized images for the client, and that brings us to doing stuff on the server. So if we've committed to going beyond just doing client-side fancy CSS tricks, what is it that we can do on the server to build an optimized experience for mobile users? Well, we're going to use MVC4 here and have a look at some new features in MVC4 which make this type of work really a lot easier than it used to be. So we can create custom mobile views using a new feature called display modes in MVC4 and web pages too, so that you have different HTML for different sorts of devices. A lot more work, but obviously it opens up a lot more freedom in what you can do in the mobile experience. And then we can use jQuery Mobile, which is a library from the jQuery and jQuery UI teams, actually it's from the jQuery UI team, which is all part of the jQuery group, designed for building specifically phone and tablet applications, mobile applications, and doing so in such a way that feels familiar to web developers, because we're all web developers here, we want to reuse our existing web skills, while allowing us to have a nice consistent look and feel across different devices. Not have to worry about, oh, this event behaves differently on my iPhone to what it behaves differently on this Nokia device. Okay, that's what jQuery is great at doing, abstracting away all that stuff. So let's get a little more involved now and dig into this. So just before I jump into the demo, jQuery Mobile, you can go up to jQueryMobile.com. It's currently at version 1.1, so it's been in development for a while now. They've had their major release. They've had their first point release. You can see here they actually support quite a lot of different devices. iOS, Windows Phone are the ones that, you know, we care about. Android, obviously, is very important as well. And then even all of these lesser used, Migo, BlackBerry, Symbian, Palm even, are supported by jQuery Mobile. Very, very cool. You can see some advanced. They've got a nice in-browser ability here to sort of just mock up what something might look up. So you can sort of drop things in. Say I want to put a page footer down here, put a nav bar underneath there, maybe it goes under there, put a button in here, put a map under it, et cetera, and you can see what an app might look like using jQuery Mobile. I think you can even now grab, I think you should be able to download the HTML that would make this for you, which is kind of cool. They have a theme roller, which we'll look at a little bit in a moment, so you can make different themes. And they've got a great gallery of sites that have used this. So let's go off and build something. Let's actually go through the process of converting a desktop application into a mobile application. So here I have a very simple desktop application that I wrote. It's a conference browser, funnily enough. So the conference is Dev Awesome 2012. And it's the awesomest conference ever, anywhere, period. And this is the awesomest conference browser to go with it. And so what I can do is I can browse by date. So here's all the dates. Awesome. Click on one. More awesome. They don't have any speakers. They're not very good. Let's try and pick one that has some speakers. How about this one? There we go. Dojo Bowling Game Kata. Don't you want to go to that conference? That sounds awesome. There we go. And I can click through, obviously, and see the session details, the speaker. Once I know who the speaker is, I can click on the speaker and go see all the other talks that that speaker might be doing. It's a standard type of conference browser. I can also browse by speaker completely, and I can browse by tag as well. So what does this look like currently if we bring this up in a mobile device? Now, I'm going to use a combination of mobile sort of simulators here. I've got the Windows Phone emulator on the right. But we're going to find the Windows Phone emulator is a little aggressive in its caching. And I find it hard to clear the cache, and so you'll note me having to close it and reopen it on occasion so I can get it to refresh. And the other one I'm using is the Opera mobile browser emulator, which behaves a lot more like a desktop browser when it comes to caching, so sometimes I'll just use it, which is a lot easier to do. So here we go. We know, okay, this is kind of sucky because I haven't even got a viewport in here. Now, everyone who came to my talk on Monday and those who were here for Scott's talk just before probably know now that the new templates don't do this by default. They actually have the viewport meta tag in them, so they do look good on mobile devices. I took it out for the purposes of this demo. Okay? So this is a desktop app, and as you can see, it looks very bad in my mobile application because everything is teeny, tiny, tiny, tiny. I have to zoom in to see anything. So we want to go through the process now of making this into a mobile-friendly application. So what do we do? So let's go and have a look at it. It's an MVC4 application. You know, it's got home controller. It's got a bunch of methods on it. For loading the various views. It's really not very complicated. All the data is stored in an XML file. It's pretty easy to understand. Okay. So first thing we can do, let's create a specific layout for mobile devices. So I'm going to come down here into my views folder under shared, and I'm going to create a copy of this layout page. And instead of calling it layout, copy of layout, because that's really not very useful, I'm going to call it layout.mobile.cshtml. Okay, so now I have layoutmobile.cshtml. Let's put something in here that will only show up on mobile devices so that we can see. Well, first thing I'm probably going to want to do is put in that viewport meta tag. So let's do that. Okay, so now that's in there. Let's go and put something in here that might be useful. Like, let's put something down here like, this is the mobile version. Awesome. So, now if I hit refresh, I've got my viewport tag in my specific mobile. So you can see it's squished. It sort of resized itself now. And this is the mobile version. Awesome is across there. So you can see that I've got this specific mobile version that's been created. If I go back to Chrome, nothing's changed. I hit F5. It's the exact same thing because Chrome is not a mobile browser. I get the normal layout page. So you can start to see very, very quickly that I can create a mobile version of my layout page, and I can have that used in mobile browsers. Very, very cool. So what else would I probably want to do? Well, this navigation isn't particularly good on a mobile device. In fact, this home page is really, really busy. So I might really just par this down to the absolute minimum. So let's go through and rewrite this a little bit. So, well, I like this menu. I think that's a good idea. But I don't really think I need any of this header stuff. We can get rid of that. And I don't really think... I really just think I want nav, like, right there. And I don't think I need a footer in a mobile app. That's just going to take up room. Because, you know, I'm thinking about how people will use this application on a phone. They're at a conference, they've got the device in their hand, they're walking, they're lining up for the bathrooms, and only at TechEd. They're lining up for the bathrooms, and they're like, what talk am I going to go to next? And so they've only got a couple of seconds. They just want to, you know, flip through, click, 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 tap, tap. They want it to be fast, they want it to be very small. I don't want all that other stuff that my desktop app has. So I'm going to just delete a whole bunch of stuff here. Okay, so let's try that. See what that looks like now. Refresh. Okay, it's getting a little bit better. It still looks like it's... let's get rid of this. Maybe some CSS is being applied here. I don't want. Let's come back. Hit refresh. Yeah, it's getting a bit better. So now I've got a list of links at the top that's really, really easy to click. But as you can see, I mean, I kind of suck at doing mobile design. I really don't want this thing here, and I probably want to make these links big and fat so I can hit them really easy with a finger. Wouldn't it be great if there was a library that would do that for me? Well, that's where jQuery Mobile comes in. So I'm going to throw this one out, and let's put in a one that I created earlier. So I'm just going to grab some snippets here. I think it's this one. So let's just delete all of this. We'll put this in. So here's a new layout page. Let's come back, hit refresh, and it'll fail because this layout page doesn't render a specific section that I need it to be rendered. So at this point, I need to bring in the things that use jQuery Mobile. So we have a package that makes this a little bit easier. So I can go to NuGet and say install package, and I'll just use my local feed to make this a bit faster, jQuery.mobile.mvc. So we have this sort of helper library for MVC projects that depends on jQuery Mobile that adds a few extra things to the project. So that's installed now. Let me just rebuild, make sure that builds. Let's come back, hit F5, see if I've got everything I need to show this up. Okay, so now it's saying it's looking for something called featured. So I need to update my index page as well, because on my index page, we go to home and index, we've got this section called featured, which was that big blue section in the desktop. I don't need that in mobile, so I really need a mobile version of this page as well. So let's come and do that. I'm going to grab my index page, copy it, do the exact same thing that I did before, index.mobile.chtml. And in here, well, I don't want that. Okay, so let's come back, refresh that. Okay, so now we're starting to see a mobile version of my site. Deleted my nav, unfortunately. But you can see now that we've got a very, very different experience. And just to prove, we can come back over here, obviously, to my desktop, and that's still looking like a desktop, so nothing has changed there. Okay, so let's bring in something that looks a little better. What do we got? See, let's bring my nav back into my home page. Okay, so now all I've done over here is you see I've got H2, dev awesome, I've got my nav element, and I've got a UL to create to contain my elements. And then I've got this data-role equals list view. So here we start to see jQuery UI coming into my markup. So jQuery Mobile, I should say. So when jQuery Mobile decided they were going to build this awesome CSS and JavaScript framework for mobile development, they could have done a few things. They could have chosen a few different ways for you to update your application. They could have just given you a whole bunch of CSS classes and said, you have to go class equals whatever, okay, four different things. But no. They looked at HTML5 and said, you know, what we really want to be able to do is have the element explain to us what am I going to be used for in this application. And they have a whole bunch of defined roles. So all you have to do is say, well, this list of elements, I want you to treat as a list view. I want you to turn it into a list view. And then this extra element over here, data inset equals true, is sort of more stuff that it can use to augment what this is going to look like. So if I come back over now to my mobile and hit refresh, nothing happens because I haven't created bundles. So I have brought in jQuery Mobile, but I've forgotten to go and create bundles for it. So I'm using bundling, which is part of MVC4. Scott might have shown this in the previous talk. I'm not sure. I think I might have showed it on Monday as well. So I'm going to just bring in some code here that's going to create a couple of bundles, which are JavaScript and CSS packages that contain stuff. Right? In this case, I need stuff that contains jQuery Mobile. So you can see here, I've got a bundle that contains jQuery Mobile, I've got a bundle that contains the CSS for jQuery Mobile, and I've got another bundle that contains some more mobile CSS that came in with that jQuery.mobile.mvc package. So now that I've rebuilt that, come back and hit refresh. Now we're starting to see the goodness. So just by referencing jQuery Mobile and marking up our elements with a few data dash attributes, we start to see something that really looks like a nice, almost native mobile app. So that's pretty cool. So that's my home page. Home, dev awesome 2012, date, speaker, and tag is what I can browse by. You might have noticed up the top here, we've got this other thing that was showing up, displaying mobile view, desktop view. So that package that I imported also pulled in something else. It pulled in a partial view, let's come down to shared, called the view switcher. So all this uses, all these mobile views here use a new feature in MVC 4 called display mode. And we have a way for the user to override what display mode they would like to see. So the view switcher is one is a partial that's designed to let the user switch between mobile and desktop. And you'll see this a lot on websites where you get punted off to the mobile version because you're on a mobile device, and then you go, no, I actually wanted the desktop version because I know there's a feature in the desktop version. I'm willing to live with the pain, and I'd like to go and use the desktop version now. So I can do that now. I can hit desktop view, and now I'm back to the desktop version in all of its teeny tiny glory. But, oh dear, there's no way for me to get back. I've kind of put myself in a dead end here because there's no way to get from the desktop version to the mobile version because I'm in a mobile browser and there's no link here. So let's go and add that partial to our normal layout so that people who have switched over to desktop can get back to mobile. So I want to put this in the footer. I think it'll look good after the copyright notice over here. Let's do that. Let's put that in here. So it's just HTML.partial and the name of the partial view switcher. Let's come back and refresh that. Did you see it? It's there, I promise. Look. Look. There it is. It is there. Mobile view. And this is what it's like when you switch to the desktop view. Now, of course, I could probably double tap in here. There we go. Much better. Much better. Doesn't get a laugh, though, so it's more fun doing the other way. Click on mobile view, and now I'm back to mobile view. Very, very cool. So now I can switch between the two. Let's go back to the desktop. Not that one. Oh, that one. Hit F5. And note that it's not there. So, okay, why isn't it there? I can see it in the mobile browser. Why can't I see it in the desktop browser? So let's go look at the code. Let's figure it out. So let's go to our partial shared view switcher. And let's read this code. Let's just go into full screen for a moment. Okay, so if there we go. If it's a mobile device and the request was a GET request, then go ahead and render all that markup to show that link that lets me switch between mobile and desktop. So I might not like that. I might want to let people who are on a desktop look at the mobile version. Anyone know why you might want to do that? I need F5 now. There it is. Why would I want to do that? Testers? Well done. Good. And me as a developer. Because Chrome, you know, and IE10 and 9 and Firefox and Firebase have great debugging tools, which the phones don't have. So now I can switch over to the mobile view in Chrome, if my mouse doesn't die, in Chrome, and I can resize this to make it look like a phone, but I still have F12 development tools. So that's kind of cool. And I can pop those out, obviously, so they don't look silly like they do now. So that's a good way for you to test it. So you may not deploy it to your website like that. You may not want that link showing up for people on desktop browsers. But you can certainly just change the code because we just drop the code straight into your application. It's not some opaque DLL that you can't change internal sealed Microsoft.system. You can't change this. Ha ha ha. You can tell I'm the PM for web forms, can't you? Yeah. I wish I could call all of our classes that. Okay. So what have we got so far? We now have a mobile layout and a mobile index. So what happens if I go and click on something? Yeah, it's not too bad, actually. I'm still in a mobile layout, but I've got the desktop partial being rendered because I didn't do a mobile version of the partial. And I'll let you into a little secret about how jQuery Mobile works right now. What actually happened when I clicked that? Which jQuery Mobile said, oh, you want to navigate to another page. Screw that. I'm going to make an AJAX request to that page, get the HTML, pull it apart, and then inject it into this page. That's kind of cool. This is what they do by default, so that there's actually no full page navigation that happens by default when you do this. It can result in some weird behavior if you're in a site like this where you're in the middle of converting from like a fully desktop to sort of an optimized mobile experience, because you can get desktop pages loaded into a mobile layout and then you'll get a really weird result. So far, it's looking okay. You can turn off that AJAX behavior, by the way, and we'll do that at the end. But again, this kind of looks terrible compared to that first one. So I think I can do a lot better than just this list. So let's go and update our dates list now. So I'm going to have to go over here, make a copy of all dates. Let's control drag that into there. come in and change that to .mobile. Zoom back out, open that up. Okay, find my mobile. We sort of saw how we had to do that. So what was it? I don't want the heading in here. I think it was data-role equals, what was it? List view, very good. So let's come back now, see if it was easy as that. Okay, that wasn't hard, was it? Very, very easy. Now, that looks pretty good, but that's a lot of dates. You could probably do a better job of showing this to the user in a little more usable fashion. So rather than just, you can see the model of this view is IEnumerable of date time, like the controller just shoves back all the date times in order that there are conferences for, and then you render a link that goes off to a conference page saying, show me all the sessions for that date. But having a big flat list of dates isn't easy for humans to parse. I think we could perhaps group this information so that we could show days and then the times within those. So that might be a lot easier. So let's do that. Let's just delete this. In fact, let's delete all of this. And let's pull this in. Oh, not that one. Let's pull in the right one so that the demo works. This one here. Okay. So what we're going to do this time is say, let's declare a variable last day, which is just the default value for date time, which is datetime.min. Then I'm going to say for each date in my model, if that date is not equal to last day, which of course the first one won't be, set last day equal to the current date in the data, and then render out this li. And you note that this has a different data role. This is a data role of list-divider. And then inside my divider, I'm going to render out the current date from my model as just day, month, and name of the day, or name of the day, month, and then the date itself. And then I'm going to go on and render the rest of the date, which was the time portion down here, which is a link off to those times. And then it'll go through the next date and say, okay, well, is date equal to? If it's the same day, then that will be equal. And so it won't render that bit, it'll just render the time. So if we come back now and hit refresh on here, we can see now what we're getting is Tuesday, Jan 10, 5 p.m., Wednesday, Jan 11, all these times here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all blue at the moment, which, I don't know about you, but that's still kind of hard for me to look at. So what I'm going to do is use another jQuery feature. I'm going to change the theme of these to a different theme. I'm going to make that A. I think it's A. Let's try this. There's a few different themes. Let's try A. No, A is no good. Let's try C. Someone call out a letter and we'll try it. No, let's try B. No, I'm totally failing here. Let's try D. Let's try it on the divider. No, that is on the divider. Let's try that's why it's not working. I'm supposed to be doing it on this bit down here. There we go. Let's do all that again. Because that was fun. Nope, not B. A. Oh, that's not very good. I think C is going to be better. This is just for dramatic effect. I knew what it was. There we go. Look at that. Much nicer. There we got there. Yeah. Now, see, someone in the comments will go, why was he doing that typing? He could have just dragged it in and it would have worked the first time and he wouldn't have wasted all that time. So, well, you clapped. So. I like it when people clap. So, jQuery Mobile includes themes. So, out of the box, you get this theme that has five swatches, A, B, C, D, and what comes up? E. So after that, so you can choose to intermingle these in your application. If we go back to my layout page, we can see that by default, I'm telling under here, data role page, data theme equals B. So by default, everything is using swatch B, which is that blue and a combination of other things. But we saw that the divider and the actual row color were too similar in B, so I just mixed them up. And you can do that totally fine. If you go to the jQuery mobile site, go to the documentation section, scroll up here. So we can come to themes, theme framework. Scroll down, you can sort of see. So here's the different swatches that come by default, black, blue, two colors of gray, and orange. And you can sort of see they start to mix and match them. You can start to see what sort of combinations you can get, which is kind of cool. And if you don't like those themes, you can build your own. So we come back here, scroll back down. There's a link here to jQuery UI theme, the jQuery mobile theme roller. Anyone ever use the jQuery UI theme roller? Yeah, quite a few people. Okay, this is very, very similar. So here is my theme with a bunch of swatches. This is sort of just by default. And then you can pick up colors and drop them on the bits for the different swatches, which is kind of cool. And then obviously you can drill into each one and like change all the various shadows and borders and fonts and whatnot like that. And then that will give you a bunch of CSS, and then you can go and hack on the CSS manually if you really, really want to get involved. So that's kind of cool. Kind of cool. Okay, so that's looking pretty good. So let's go back to home. What should we do next? Let's do speaker. So speaker probably could do with some love as well. So let's go and do the same thing all over again for speaker. So you can see this process is fairly repetitive, but it yields a really nice result. I mean, the fact that we can do this now really gives us the flexibility to build specific user experiences for mobile devices. So let's find my pre-canned speaker one. Here it is. So let's get rid of all that. Was that speaker? That's speaker. Okay, let's come back. Hit refresh. Okay, so now we have speakers. So all I did, again, was I got rid of the heading because I don't need a heading in my mobile device. And I just it's actually the same UL it was before, and all I did was add data role this view. So far, I mean, what, we've spent about 20 minutes working on this application. You show it to your boss, and he goes, wow, it's pretty good. I can scroll, but, you know, this list is really long. There must be 200 speakers here. What would be really good? What if I could sort of filter the list in real time? So I could type on here, and like if I wanted to find Damien or Scott, I could just hit S and it would filter down. You go, oh. You know, that's going to take some work. And so I think maybe two days? 2 days to do that. Because I've got to go and learn about the DOM and how do I do like bubble sort in jQuery. Oh, no. I got to learn about this sort of stuff. And I really think to make sure I do this without any distractions, I should go and work from home. And that will really, you know, really let me focus on the task at hand. Wouldn't it be just, and so, you know, he's going, yeah, that's a really, really good idea. You should do that. You know, do you need anything else? Well, you know, I could do with a masseur or something. I think I need a new laptop. Mine doesn't have any, you know, good enough RAM or something, you know. So. How cool is that? So jQuery Mobile is more, thank you. jQuery Mobile is more than just fancy buttons and list views and icons. It's actually enhanced behavior, again, designed specifically for mobile devices. So all the data is in the page, like nothing magically Ajax is happening. All that data came down. It's just that now I've got this nice little text box so I can just type stuff in and it'll filter the results in the list view underneath it. All I had to do was add data-filter equals true. Really, really, really nice. Really cool. Okay, so what have we got? We've got, let's go back home. We've got date. That looks good. We've got speaker. That looks good. We've got tag. Oh, hideous. Okay, let's go do tag. All right, so tags over here. Same thing. So we do grab this, copy it up here. Copy, rename. Delete. Come across. Mobile. Zoom out. All tags mobile. This will be the exact same thing again. We want data dash role equals list view and data dash filter equals not fitler. That almost sounds offensive. Equals true. I'm not even going to attempt to make a joke. Here we go. Let's refresh that. Okay, so now we've got the same thing for tags, which is kind of nice. And I can filter by tags, ASP. Oh, it's nothing on ASP. What sort of conference was this? Java. Oh, okay. Node. I thought this was an awesome conference. There's no ASP. Oh, demo fail. No good. All right. Okay, so what have we got so far? We've done layout, we've done home, we've done all these. We haven't actually done a conference. So if we drill through to a date. Oh, this is an interesting one. So let's come back. Where did I go? I went to time. Let's go to one that has lots. Let's go to Thursday at 9:45. Ah, tables. The bane of the mobile developer. So let's go back and have a look at what this looked like before. Let's come Thursday, 9:45. Okay, so tables. The problem with tables, especially when they have more than two columns, is that they want to be wide. They want to take up all the space available to them, which is perfectly reasonable when you're on a desktop. You know, tables are for tabular data. That's exactly what the table tag is for. You should absolutely use it for showing tabular data. But because we're thinking about how our mobile people use these, use the mobile app, it's really a mobile app we're building, how do they use this thing? A table really isn't the best way for people to look at this type of data when they're looking at it in the palm of their hand. So while I think it's still perfectly fine to use a table here on the desktop, in fact, it's, I can very easily scan across the top, look down the date column, I can do those things. On a mobile device, this is terrible. I mean, as you can see, it just really looks bad. And I don't even want to... I really should try and bring this up in here, shouldn't I? Let's have a look. Let's try. Let's tempt fate. Localhost 43104. So this is in my Windows Phone emulator, looking like the lovely Nokia N900 in white. Anyone have it in white? Whoa! Let there be lights! Oh, this is not working. I'm going to close that. We'll fire that up again, because I might want to have a look at that later on. Is there a reason the lights just came on? Out of fire alarm, something? Oh, okay. Very nice. Okay, so let's go and redo our table. Let's use a different layout sort of idea for doing this. So that's going to be in my sessions table, so I'm going to do that little dance, control drag up here. Copy, I won't zoom in this time, just to save your eyes. Copy sessionstable.mobile. Rest assured, I'm just doing the exact same thing I've done the last 10 times. So this time, I think a table, like I said, is just the wrong idea. So let's just grab all of this and delete it. And, you know, actually, I think I might have done this already. Oh, look. Oh, no, that's the other one. Let's table, table, table. Let's find my table one. Do, 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 do. That looks like it. Okay. So now let's go back over here and hit refresh and see what we get. That looks better. So now we have a list of sessions. We've used a UL as a list view. And I've created nice, big, fat buttons that people can really, really easily click on. And so let's come back and look at the markup. UL for each session in my model. Create an LI. And then create an anchor tag. So let's focus in a bit here. Create an A tag that links off to the session page. And then inside that A tag, use semantic HTML. So I say, well, the heading of this session is session.title, so put that in an H3. I already have an H1 on my page. And then inside are two paragraphs. The first paragraph is going to be the session speakers, and I want that to really stand out, so I'm wrapping it in strong. Okay? Back in the day, we would have used B. Now we use strong, because strong is semantic and HTML5 and all that goodness, and all the browsers support it, of course. And then after that, just another paragraph that contains the actual date text. Now, interesting note here. Who is looking at this and going, but wait, you can't put a P inside an A? Anyone thinking that? No? Oh, okay. I used to think that because if you're an XHTML developer, HTML4 developer, that was invalid. And in fact, IE, back in the old days, and 6 and stuff, wouldn't let you do it. If you did this, it would look really, really horrible because A was an inline element. It was always designed to render inline in other text. And if you start putting block elements inside of it, like headings and paragraphs, all hell breaks loose. In HTML5, A uses what's called a transparent content model. So A is neither inline or block. A takes on the display mode of whatever is inside of it and whatever it is inside of. So you can use it anywhere, which is great because we just want to make stuff clickable. That's all we want to do with an A tag. So we can totally do that now, and it's supported by all browsers properly if you use a library like Modernizer to do that polyfill for you. So now we're starting to look really, really nice. So if I go back to my home page, I can go to sort of speaker and drill down. We'll find Sir Hanselman. Click on him. And code through. Here's the stuff he was doing. This is very good. Click on this. And now we're at the sessions page. The session. This is the one page we haven't done yet, the session page. So it's not terrible, actually. I mean, I can read that quite well because jQuery Mobile went and just did that AJAX call and pulled down that content and shoved it into the page. It's done a pretty good job of doing that. But again, I think we could do this better. I think we should go to the effort of making this page mobile as well. Now, in this time, I've actually just done this already. I'm going to cheat. So I'm just going to show hidden. Now, let's rename this one to that one. Say yes. Let's include this in my project. Let's zoom out. Let's open it up. Nope, that's the one. So again, this one's a little bit different. A little bit more markup in here because we're actually showing all the details about the session. What room is it in? What's the name of the session? Who are the speakers? I want to enable nice navigation from this page off to other sessions that might be related to the session that you're currently looking at. So let's have a look at what that looks like. Let's refresh the page now. Okay, so you can see now I've got my heading. Here's where it is. I have this nice list view with Scott Hanselman, who's the speaker, which is clickable because I might want to see other talks by Scott Hanselman. And I scroll down. Here's the synopsis. And then under that, tags, all the tags. And again, this is clickable. So I can say other, what are all the sessions in other? A breakfast, that's good. Dojo greed data. Okay, oh, this looks good. What else is who else is doing? What's Nimbo Pros doing? Oh, they're doing a lot of dojos. Very good. So now I've got a nice app where I can sort of, given I have this set of data, I've kind of folded it on itself into a cube. That's why we call it a three-dimensional set. And now I can sort of move this data around in any direction depending on how I want to look at it. So whether I want to look at it by tag or by date, I can absolutely do that without any... if I wanted to go even further, I could probably make the date itself here a hyperlink so I could go and see other sessions in that date slot, which is kind of cool. So this is looking really, really nice. And again, if we go back to the desktop, nothing changes. So we have our desktop experience and we have our mobile experience. Let's see if my mobile browser will work now. Localhost colon, what was it? 43104. See how it looks on Windows Phone. Oh, nice. Okay, so we go to speaker. Loads up. Let's look for Sir Hanselman. Loading. Ooh, oh, there we go. Click on him. Okay, there's one here dealing with information overlays. Very nice. So you can see it looks very, very similar. So really, really nice experience now for people in mobile browsers when they're using this application. Really, really cool. Okay. What else do I want to show you on this before we move on? Skip ahead. Done all that. Okay. Any questions on this before I jump out and we start looking at something else quickly? Yes? Try to do filter on. So on the list of sessions, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go. Oh, that's probably better if I pick one that has. Let's go to Hanselman again. So the question is, what would happen if I tried to apply data filter equals true in here? I have no idea. We could try. I'm guessing it's going to just do a string match for the internal, all the HTML inside of it. And we can quickly try. We've got time. We've got 22 minutes. Let's go and have a look. Let's go off the beaten track. Let's go totally off script and destroy everything. Filter equals true. Let's come back here, hit refresh. So if I look for a heck, how do I get rid of this thing? That totally doesn't work. Heck. Can I get rid of the keyboard without it? Yeah, there you go. Works perfectly. Thank you, sir, for improving my demonstration. Awesome stuff. Any other questions?
What does it look like in IE7?
Six. Does anyone have a 14-year-old laptop I can borrow? Let's have a look. So this is IE10, but I can hit F12, drop it down to IE7 mode. Okay, so here's IE7. It still looks all right. Like, it doesn't look terrible. It works. Got a mobile view. Yeah, not so good. Not so good. There's probably... Oh, look, Control F5. Cache is your friend. So it's not bad. There's no rounded corners and things like that. But, yeah, it works, I think. Maybe. So for IE7, it looks like the Ajax stuff doesn't work. And so you could certainly go and detect IE7 if you wanted to support IE7 in the mobile view. I don't know why you'd want to. But you could, and you could just turn off the jQuery Mobile's Ajax behavior for that specifically. And then it would just do a full page navigation, and this would probably just work perfectly fine. Probably. But it does bring up an interesting point about the... sort of support matrix for jQuery Mobile. They do have it listed, and they have a graded support matrix. Here it is. So it's a bit like the YUI, the Yahoo support matrix, where they have A grade, B grade, C grade devices. So actually, IE7 9 is meant to be A grade. Full enhanced experience with Ajax-based animated page transitions. Now, in all fairness, I was using IE10 in IE7 emulation mode, and I don't know how you know, perfectly that sort of does stuff. I thought it would just work, but it's not. But according to jQuery Mobile, that is supported as an A-grade experience. So if it doesn't work for you, log a bug and get it fixed. Anything else? I'll throw a hand over here. Yes?
How is it determining whether or not you're on a mobile device? And will we have to update it?
Great question. So the question was, how is ASP.NET determining that it has to switch to a mobile view? And given the current state of mobile devices, does that mean I have to update ASP.NET every week? No. So by default, it's doing something very, very simple. So all I'm doing here is .mobile, and it uses the ASP.NET browser capabilities feature that's been there forever that has like a database of various browser strings and knows what they can do. For detecting a mobile device, that's kind of easy. Like, I mean, those OSs don't change. It's either iOS, it's BlackBerry, it's a Windows phone or a Windows mobile device, or it's Symbian or those other devices. And we're not really seeing new, or Android, we're not seeing new OSs and new browsers come out that often on those. But of course, it's extensible. So you can easily drop an app browsers folder into here, just like you always have been able to, drop a browser config file in there and just add a new browser very, very easily. Now, you can also set explicit display modes. So rather than just saying mobile, I could have a layout.iPhone if I wanted to take explicit advantage of something that the WebKit browser supports. Then I could have a very, very specific view just for iPhone. I could have one for WinPhone 7, and then I could have a mobile fallback. And it'll actually fall back through. It'll pick the most appropriate one and then go all the way back to desktop. So I don't have time to show that, but it is available. You can look at it. It's in the display mode section. If you go into, I'll just show you sort of the API. In the global ASAX, there's this, I've got this code here. There's this display mode provider. So this instance here, display mode provider.instance, is where everything hangs off. So if you want to go digging around in the API, this is where you go. Display mode provider dot, excuse me, dot instance. Any other questions? Yes? So the question was about doing something similar in web forms. Great question. So obviously, everything I've shown you here is MVC. In terms of this mobile view, this doesn't apply to web forms. You could build something similar in web forms if you wanted to. What I would encourage you to do, certainly with the routing engine, you could do that. You could write a custom route handler that looks at the browser and then routes to one page versus another. That would be pretty trivial to do. I would encourage you to go and talk to our control vendor partners. So go out to the expo hall, talk to DevExpress, Infragistics, Telerik, Component, those guys, Component One. They have amazing web forms control suites for building iPad apps and like Windows Phone apps and stuff like that. And they're literally web forms controls. So you go file new, I saw the DevExpress one just before, you know, file new DevExpress project, gives you a nice wizard, and then you got a page with markup that just looks like web forms, and you run it, and it's a full-on iPhone, iPad app with multi-touch, and you can drag things around and everything, and it's web forms. So they're going to do a much better job of that than we ever could. So this is great for MVC because MVC is all about you writing all the HTML yourself. WebForms is a component model system, so the idea is you use components to get the most productivity out of that framework. So go and talk to the component vendors because they have really, really fantastic stuff. Anyone else? Yes? Yes, so the question was, would this work on a tablet? Absolutely. So if you're using an iPad, jQuery Mobile is specifically designed for phones and tablet devices, whether it's an Android tablet or an iOS tablet or even a Windows tablet when they come out. And so you may want to have a different view for a tablet just because there's more real estate. In fact, if you go to the jQuery Mobile website and we go back to their documentation section, there's a goodie. So this is a jQuery, the jQuery Mobile docs is written in jQuery Mobile. So you can sort of get an idea. And you can see they even have these nice transitions. So see how it's fading sort of in and out? And they're all changeable. So they have slide transitions and flip transitions for those browsers that support them. So WebKit on iPad and iOS supports all of these really fancy transitions. But if I come back to the home page here, let me drag this out and resize it. You'll note that as I resize this, they're using a responsive layout as well. So they sort of collapse from two columns down to one column. So you could combine what we talked about in client-side changes with a media queries and responsive design with jQuery Mobile so that you could have something like this, where it's when it's on a big wide display, you get a nice multi-column of jQuery Mobile, and then when it's down low, you get a single column. And you can do all that in CSS. So you can certainly combine these techniques to get a nice experience. Okay. Any more questions? Yes. So the question was, does the site need to deal with login separately? Is that... login shouldn't have to be any different. So, you know, on a device, if I go back to... I've taken the login buttons off. But standard forms authentication or the OpenAuth support that's coming in the RTM templates for web forms and MVC will all work on a mobile device. I mean, the person still just puts in a username and password. They can choose to have that remembered in a cookie, and that will just continue to work. You can absolutely do that in jQuery, a jQuery mobile site, no problem. So there's nothing. There's really nothing different to worry about there. Yes? So the question was, what do I recommend? So if you're going to build a new site, it all depends on your audience. So first of all, know your audience. Know what sort of devices they're going to be using. If it's the general public, then yes, they're going to be using iPads and Windows tablets and phones. And so I yes, definitely use responsive design. Use one of, like, our new template does that. Go to any of the template galleries, media queries. Find a good template that will do that for you. Or use one of the CSS skeleton frameworks. There's actually one called Skeleton, which is really good, that does all of this for you. To get you that, at least your normal website will work nicely on a tablet or on a phone. And then if you have specific user experience requirements that people will use your site differently when they're on a tablet or on a phone, then start looking at something like jQuery Mobile. But you raised an interesting point. So I'll take some more questions at the end. I want to move on, I've got a little bit more content. So you really have to ask yourself, are you building a website or a web application? Let's flip back to the slides for a second. PowerPoint. So as we saw, the pros and cons, I mean, the pros of this obviously are maximum flexibility. You can change the markup to your heart's content. And cons, it can be a little repetitive. You can see I had to, like, repeat markup over and over and over again. A lot of the times that stuff is very, very similar. But that's kind of the price you have to pay when you're trying to build a unique experience just for certain people, even if there are similarities. And device detection is not trivial. So someone asked the question, well, what happens if a new device comes out? It is a problem. You can easily change it. But it's if you need to do more than just detect, is the device mobile? If you need to say, does it have the ability to play an OGG file? Or can it play back Flash video? If you need that type of information, then you need to look at a third-party browser capabilities vendor, something like 51 Degrees Mobi or Werfel, if you've heard of these. 51degrees.mobi, the other one's Werfel. So you can look at those. They have packages available for ASP.NET applications that you can drop in that give you these rich databases of device capabilities so that you can use those in your application. So how do we dial this up even more? So far, we've seen doing nothing. We've seen doing some stuff on the client with the responsive design. We've seen using MVC4's display modes to build a mobile-specific page using jQuery Mobile. But can we dial this up even more? Like, at what point does our website become a web application? I mean, that jQuery Mobile site was looking very application-y to me. It looked fairly native. It's going to look very similar on different devices. It's themeable. I mean, you can see the default themes are very much inspired by iOS, but I'm going to show you a little trick later on that you can, to really show you that these themes really can be changed to make it look like anything. So at what point do these really become applications? And you've really got to ask yourself, with the type of sites and apps that you're building, do you consider what you're building to be a website or web application? Now, web applications generally are going to need more rich client-side functionality. They don't want to have to go to the server to download HTML all the time. And so let's have a look at an example of something that does that. So just quickly, HTML5, I mean, the people who came to my talk on Monday will know this, but you know, HTML5 is a collection of a whole bunch of different stuff. I've used the word HTML5 a couple of times today, but there's so much in HTML5 that we just can't cover in one or two talks. Local storage is a fantastic one. Canvas, if you're doing gaming, you want to draw bitmaps on the screen. Video, of course, everybody knows. Microdata, history, the ability to make AJAX calls, but have those calls saved in the state of the browser, so the forward and back button will actually continue to work while you're using Ajax. Very, very cool stuff. Geolocation, knowing where your browser is so that you can provide specific information in your web page based on where they, you know, where the geography is, where they're currently located on the earth. Very, very cool stuff. Okay, so let's look at an application that we've turned up to 11, so to say. Let's save that. This one's just pre-saved. So this is an example of what we call a single-page application. So this is the same, almost the same, type of application. It's a conference browser. It's a different set of data. This is the mixed data from a few years ago. Refresh. There we go. I killed it by hitting refresh too many times. Refresh. Oh, don't you hate that? Let me close that and launch that again. See if I can make it friends with me. Oh, come on, don't cache it. Don't. Oh, hang on. Did I take so many? 22486. Last demo of the fail is not. Last demo of the fail. Last demo of the day is going to be the one that doesn't want to cooperate with me, isn't it? Okay, well, let's just cheat and use this rather than my mobile emulator, because my mobile emulator has decided it's had enough. Okay, so this is very similar sort of experience to what we saw before. Let's minimize a few of these things down, get them out of the way. Okay. This one too. So I can click on date. Know how it's sliding from left to right? Because I'm in a Chrome here. Chrome is a WebKit browser, so it supports more of these advanced CSS animations, and jQuery Mobile has the ability to leverage those. So I'm getting this sort of nice native-looking experience. So this looks very, very similar to what we saw before, sort of except that, you know, we've got the sliding back and forward. The back and the forward button work, like I said. So we know this is making Ajax calls, but I can still sort of move back and forward through the application with my back and forward button, which is kind of nice. So what's different this time? What have I actually changed? Well, let's go look at the markup. So this is the layout page. You can see I've got a whole bunch of JavaScript. Let's go to the index page. This is really interesting. Look at that. So at the very top of the home page, I'm rendering out the views for all the various views in the application. They're actually in line in the markup. Now, jQuery Mobile is designed to work with an existing sort of a page navigation. So you have separate pages, you click on a hyperlink, and it makes an Ajax request for you. The reason they do that is because of a progressive enhancement. If you're on a device that doesn't support JavaScript or Ajax, the app will still work, because you'll just navigate to the other page and things still work. But if you want to really go up to 11, you go, well, I don't care about devices that don't support JavaScript or Ajax, you can just push everything into one page, like we're doing here. And what this is going to do, let's go look at the source. So I view source on this. See how it's dropped in? So data role page all speakers, data role page all tags, data role page session list. So all those individual views are now inside my one page as individual pages, jQuery Mobile pages. And then the links between those are now just hashbang links. So if we go back, or just hash links, if we come up here, and find, let's go to the main navigation, find an example of one of these hash links. Actually, it's probably easier to see over here. Let's go to one of these mobile, one of these views. Let's go to list by speaker. There's a really good example of this somewhere, I'm sure of it. Session details, Well, you can see all the links so far are just hash. Like, they're not actually pointing at anything. And the reason is because what happens at the beginning of this page, let's see if I can find it for you, is we have some JavaScript that runs. You can see here. We're using Knockout. Who's heard of Knockout? Knockout is the great client-side model, view model JavaScript framework. We're using Knockout, so we have a, if you go to my scripts folder, we have a client-side app view model. Here's my client-side functionality. That's it. It's like 53 lines. And this set of... This model is populated with an Ajax call right at the beginning. So we come back. That's my app view model. If I go back to my index down the bottom, you'll see that it says $.get. So it makes an Ajax call to the server, home all data. So rather than me having a home controller with different actions for all the different views in this case, I have a home controller with a single action, with an index and a single action. Index and then all data, and it just returns JSON. So I'm getting all the session data down to the client on the initial call, and then from that point on, the app is completely offline. Everything happens within the app itself. It's just in-memory JSON and Knockout and jQuery Mobile all working together to flip those different pages that are in line from one to the other as I navigate around. And the thing even works offline. So if we go back to the layout page and look at the top here, those who came to my talk on Monday will have seen me talk about the application manifest, the cache manifest. So we have one of those here as well. So this application knows that it can store all of this stuff offline in local storage, so that even if I, this is inviting a demo failure, I know it, even if I shut down the web server, let's come back to the beginning, refresh, let me go and shut down my web server now, stop, hit refresh, it still works. I can still click around, there's no server there, and everything is still working because this thing is being initially loaded all that data via an AJAX request, and it's being stored in local memory in this browser. So I can even close the browser and reopen it, and we continue to work while the server is offline. So again, really, really useful for mobile applications, obviously, because the connection can be a little bit transient, but it won't work with devices that don't support JavaScript. But let's face it, most of them do now. If you're using iOS or using a phone, Windows phone or any other smartphone, they're going to be supporting JavaScript. So a really, really cool way of really, really turning it up to the max. Okay. So in conclusion, we saw why is supporting mobile devices important? Well, we saw it's becoming the primary way for a lot of people to use the internet. Really, really important for you to do this if you want to make sure that you're getting the maximum visibility to your website. One tip you can use today to improve existing sites without doing a lot of work. Add that media viewport into the top of your head if you really want to do nothing. And if you want to go to the next step and spend a day or so, go and look at responsive design. Hire a designer if you have to. Go to Media Queries, that website. Look at Hanselman's source code. Look at how he did a blog post on all of this, how he went through this process as well. And incorporate responsive design into your existing website so that people on mobile devices get a better experience with a little bit of work. And then if you find that you need a lot more advanced mobile experiences where you really need to tailor the experience to people on those mobile devices, look at MVC4's display mode features where you can change out the view for different types of devices and then use jQuery Mobile to build those apps. If you're a web forms developer, I encourage you to go, as I said, go and speak to our component partners. Look at the amazing control suites that they have available for you to build iPad, tablet, and phone applications using the existing control model that you know and love in web forms today. So, resources for this, it's the standard stuff. So thank you very much. Please fill in your evals. I hope you enjoyed it. I have one more talk. If you want to learn about using doing real-time development with ASP.NET, so that's WebSockets and everything involved in that, come to my talk later today about ASP.NET in real-time, which is about the new open-source library we have called SignalR. That's Signal with an R on the end, where you can build really amazing multi-user real-time applications. So I hope to see you there.